This is your moment of clarity, coming to you today from Edinburgh, Scotland. The other day, NASA released a temperature rise video that I've given the name We're Fucked by 2100. Too subtle? The We're Fucked video shows what the Earth will be like if the CO2 in the atmosphere continues on its current path. And it makes the problems in the movie Independence Day seem downright manageable. Now, don't worry, here's the part of the video where I say we can handle this. And it's true, it would only take a small percentage of the population to bring about all the change we need, but only if we get off our fucking asses and do it now. And the most exciting part about this is it gives us a chance to test the Pentagon's ability to deal with our dissent. You see, Guardian News is reporting that the Pentagon is gearing up for increased public fury over oncoming climate and energy madness. Gee, I wonder what gave them the idea that we might start to get a little restless. Was it the fucking tornado / forest fire that just wound its way through that dude's living room that you thought might cause tempers to run a little high? Was it the fact that that other guy, Jack Russell Terrier, just got sucked up into the eye of a hurricane that made you think we might get a little red under the collar? Or was it when that pickup truck from three towns over landed on my neighbor that made you think I might just lose it a little? And of course, the mere idea of the Pentagon, of our government, preparing to defend itself against the American people is, how shall I put this, a little disturbing. But that's for another video. The question here is, what do we do about climate change? You and I are just normal people trying to get by. You just want to relax with some Pinkberry and some Cadbury and some Manilo, comma, fairy. We all do. But this first part is really easy. Just talk about this NASA report. Keep it in the top of people's minds. Large change only happens when we reach a cultural tipping point, and like a fat kid on a seesaw, some people have more effect on the tipping than others. But every kid still makes a difference. Of course, sometimes it's tough talking about all this shit because it doesn't make you fun to be around. I'll be honest, at dinner parties, people scoot away from me like I just farted and it sounded like Ann Coulter's audio book. And it's even weirder than regular weird for me because I'm a comedian, so people are excited at first, like baby birds that have just been delivered a heaping serving of mama regurgitated worm parts, or like a dog stumbling into another dog's butt. Like, wow, check this out. This is a butt I've never known before. Cool. That's what it's like. You're a comedian? Wow. What kind of things do you talk about on stage? Like marriage stuff? Like stuff about how Hispanic people are funny? Or what? And I'm like, well, my last podcast was about child soldiers, and also interviewed the widow of the dude who was shot 7 times by the FBI, once in the back of the head. And then they do an awkward chuckle, but still try to hold the conversation together like Superman with the train going over his back while he bridges the hole in the overpass. They're clinging on. They're like, oh, well, I guess he must have done something pretty bad to be shot all those times. Nope, he was unarmed, just sitting there. Before I know it, I've got a young soccer mom downing vodka's no chaser just to dull the pain of my comedy, the anguish of talking to a modern-day jester. It's like meeting a juggler who only juggles human heads. I'm like, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry I made you cry so much. We can talk about something less depressing than my comedy, like Syria. So anyway, the point is, I know it can be uncomfortable to talk about this stuff, but you know what's more uncomfortable? That's been your moment of clarity from LeeCamp.net. The music here at the end is by Lauren Clark. His information is in the description. Also, if any musicians out there want to create an intro song for the Moment of Clarity podcast, I'll be taking submissions for maybe a month or so. Also, it only has to be 30 seconds long and include the name Moment of Clarity in it. All submissions will be played on the podcast. Send it to LeeCampMail, M-A-I-L, @gmail.com. Lastly, I'm playing the Edinburgh Fringe Fest this entire month. Hope you'll come to the show if you're around. Keep fighting.
If we should stop this war, my friend, do you believe that the killing will never end? That we'd just be wasting all that money we spend if we should stop this war?
And welcome to the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters. With me today is Jack Jodell from the Saturday Afternoon Post and Wayne Johnson, right? Wayne, engineer of knowledge with me today. The guys are here. And I want to thank my buddy Lee Camp for saying, go ahead and play that, baby. Moment of clarity we opened up with is, and I don't know if you guys can actually relate to that, but I know I can. I was at a dinner party last night, and I actually found a kindred spirit who said, yeah, that's the truth, and yeah, and a very middle-class fellow who's getting ready to retire and sees the whole thing out there, but says, you know, people just don't want to know. But most of the time when I'm out in public and having a libation, people don't want to, you know, about the issues that, you know, I'm into. They'd rather talk about the new pool they're going to try and
get. I know. It's so pathetic. But I'll tell you, people in the know want to know.
That's true. Well, people say, care. People who care
right.
are going to care.
Yep.
Good point. I have a little piece of news. I probably brought this up last week, but I'm going to bring some local folks on in the next couple of weeks with Jack and I.
Good.
But our neighborhood here in Lake Worth, I'm in Florida. We have every little neighborhood, you know, especially along the East Coast line on the ocean side, has their own name. And a lot of old neighborhoods in cities all across the country have their own names. And we just haven't had one here where I live in Old Lake Worth for 40 years, and we renamed it Pineapple Beach, which I think is pretty nice. And my sister and I joined the neighborhood watch. And guess who they made captain of the block?
You, Gwen. It has to be you.
Congratulations.
Well, here's the deal. My sister actually sort of said, you can do it. You can do it. You work from home. People have, you know, sort of looked at me because I will walk outside, walk over to the end of the block and address the guys sitting in the big old cars with the beautiful boom, boom, boom going on and say, excuse me, but will you turn that down? And other folks are kind of hesitant to do that, and they shouldn't. We should all be friends and neighbors. And I think putting a face on Neighborhood Watch in the state of Florida that says we're all in this to serve the community, you know, to become a community, to become sustainable when we have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in the state of Florida, that's what motivated me more than anything else. So,
you've always been very civic-minded, Gwen, so that's not surprising, I guess.
Well, I think we all have to do what we can to make
the
difference, you know.
It's part of being a good activist.
Yeah, taking the action. Not everybody's able to. And
right.
those of us who are, mm-hmm. especially if we're advocates, if we're activists on paper and in voice and alternative media, like
right.
we all are,
yes.
if we can afford to go out there and spend the time, you know, hey, this isn't taking a huge amount of time away from me either. But people will turn to you when something's going on because you're the,
source. You're the informed source.
I'm the anchor. Yeah, I'm the anchor that's going to get in touch with the cops and in touch mm-hmm. with the mayor or whatever. But we all do what we can. That's
right.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's good.
So So what's going on in your neighborhood, engineer?
Well, right now, my perspective is in the lovely town of Columbus, Ohio, which tends to be a very progressive town with much of the demographics of the population plus the Ohio State collegiate aspect and the professors. So, you know, it's a very clean, beautiful, safe city here in the heartland of Ohio.
Wow.
Well, that's good to hear. That's great to hear.
And the economy is good?
The economy is doing very good. As a matter of fact, there was a mention on the news, local news, that there are not enough construction workers available in the area for the demand of the construction, be it commercial and residential projects going on right now, and the funding is here.
Well, let's hope that's a short-term thing, and then you do get enough construction workers, because that's when that picks up, man, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
I was gonna, very good. It's traditionally the construction industry has always brought us out of every recession in the past,
mm-hmm.
and I would say that this is no different either. Plus two, there's many businessmen and local politicians and state, multi-state politicians, they're realizing that it will be financially profitable to build a high-speed rail from Columbus to Chicago.
Great.
That would be a lot of jobs.
That'll be a lot of jobs. And it'll open up a lot of other alternative possibilities, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm speaking over. A lot of businesses are counting on that because that's going to cascade a Christmas tree out for the financial cash flow of everybody getting a share, be it through, you know, the grocery store for the workers that come and,
yeah.
you know, the money to spend, the, you know, go to the movies, whatever.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
The president tried to propose a high-speed rail from Columbus up to Cleveland, and the Republican governor thumbed his nose at it, said, no, it's, you know, if he did that, it would make the president look good in an election
yeah.
year, and they just couldn't do that.
That's Kasich for you.
Yeah, there, I was going to say, there was the ultimate game of politics, which they really should
right.
have had that thing going, because there was a
mm-hmm.
lot of businessmen trying to count on that to help stimulate the economies in the little burb areas between, you know, the 2 hours it takes to get from Columbus to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And it would, you know, and again, it would have cascaded out to all the Midwest regions.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that is a temporary shortage and that the situation does heal itself and that you are able to realize the benefits that are so obvious from pursuing that course. That would be a great construction project.
Absolutely. Well, that and engineering, too. That's the reason why I'm out here in Columbus, is because the demands for the electrical infrastructure grid here
mm-hmm.
in the Midwest.
Yeah.
It's good
to know. Boy, does that need work. Does that need work badly nationwide?
Exactly. Just to harden the system.
It's good,
yeah.
It's good to know that something is going on. But, you know, they made a claim out of D.C., out of the Oval Office, that we did so well on jobs last month. But over 65% of those jobs were short-time and part-time that they
yeah.
were counting. And it's giving people, you know, having the right attitude and keeping spirits up is a very important thing. There's no
oh, yeah.
doubt about it. But to outright manipulate the way that, you know, the politicians
well,
do.
You know, right now Congress is in recess in their back home, and I hope they're getting an earful from the public for doing virtually nothing this entire session. It was a disgusting session of Congress.
Do you know that they're on the verge of one of the first negative approval ratings? In other words, complete disapproval by the country ratings ever in the history of the country. Did you know that, Wayne?
Let me put it to you this way. And, you know, like I said, as we all have said before, I have a family legacy of 150 years belonging to the Republican Party, and I can tell you right now there is a civil war going on within the party, from the extreme reactionary right and the more sane aspects
mm-hmm.
in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Mitch McConnell from Kentucky is
mm-hmm.
up to a very extreme challenger, a woman named Grimes, who is the Tea Party aspect. And, of course, for him to just get his Republican nomination back, he's going to have to say some pretty extreme right-wing stuff. And then he has another very good Democrat challenger that will be able to take his extremisms to be able to just get renominated to that seat
mm-hmm.
and use it against him in the regular general election. So he's between I'll just say something else than a sweat, cold sweat.
Well, yeah, his ratings are very, very low for as long as he's been in office. He's in severe danger of losing his seat.
Absolutely.
But he's never been in this kind of danger at home. You know, he's kept Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, he's always been able to badmouth and ward off competition, but not this time.
No,
right.
it would seem that he has himself a real problem to address, which I think is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to go.
You
know, down here in Florida, I think it's really important for us to be aware of what's going on nationally and internationally and all that. I don't count borders anymore, gentlemen. So.
Oh, right, right. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. We are a global community right now.
Yeah.
That's not the future. That is right now.
Right.
I think the most important thing we can do is focus on the local elections and our local mm-hmm. politicians statewide so that real changes can be made. When it comes to national oversight, it's such a collapse of failure at this point that
mm-hmm.
What keeps people from storming the damn hardware stores for the pitchforks and hammer handles?
Right, right. It's almost to that point. You know, we've got to get rid of the Tea Party. They are anti-government to begin with. They want to destroy the government. They're the most unpatriotic group that we've ever had in control of Congress. And, you know, they've got to be done away with. Now, you had a great quote from Isaac Asimov, I think, didn't you, yesterday?
Absolutely. And thank you for bringing that up, Joel. The quote is from Isaac Asimov, and he passed away in 1992. But this was the beginning of the Rush Limbaugh growth and, you know, the other Me Toos of the propaganda of hatred and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a Republican, but this is what he saw projecting into the future. Anti-intellectualism has been a constant thread winding its way through our political and cultural life, nurtured by the false notion that democracy means that my ignorance is just as good as your knowledge. Henceforth, the name of my blog, Engineer of Knowledge, because that's what I want to pass on, is the true, actual knowledge and the reality of what's going on, not the propaganda crap that the right wing and Fox News and everything else has been projecting so long.
Yeah, and applaud you for that.
Well, thank you.
So do.
I myself had about a 9.5 conversation with Jack Kemp. I was very involved with the Congressman Wayne Gilchrist from the 1st District of Maryland. He was a moderate Republican, a Vietnam combat war vet, an ace of a man, refused to take any PAC money, but the Tea Party undermined him. And I had, like I said, had the chance to speak with Jack Kemp after he had lost the vice president with
Bob Dole.
Yeah, Bob. Thank you, Bob Dole.
Mm-hmm.
And my concern was that you were courting this extreme right aspect, which was nothing more than the old John Birch Society. I'm really from the eastern shore of England, where there's still Klansmen there.
Oh yeah.
They just didn't keep that name. Now they just go by Tea Party. It's all one and the same. It's the same difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him to come back and bite them. And my projection and prediction came true. Unfortunately, Jack Kemp passed away before he could say, Thornwing was right.
Yeah, well, you are right. You're on the right track exactly. And that's why I think this very destructive American political force has to be just drummed out of office at all levels. You know, they're so destructive. It's just we've never seen anything like them in our lifetime.
Jack Wayne, let me ask you this. I know Jack is really, he's a good Democrat, good progressive, and holds a lot of in the actual progressive movement.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a progressive Republican, if you will, but a conservative.
I like that title. I'll wear it with pride.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think both parties are corrupt beyond measure. And
no, I think they're terrible.
I think they need to be swept aside. Actually, nationally, I'm thinking we need to sweep it all aside. But leadership is called for. What transition there can be, only the economy will tell, and capitalism is failing terribly on the massive level right now.
Oh, yes, it is.
As long as
capitalism is allowed to be predatory because they are ignoring the labor laws that were established, they are to be the checks and balances. And if anything, and then the 2004 massive Republican takeover of the House and the Senate, along with the presidency, turned around. Matter of fact, I'm trying to remember, there is a congressman from like Wisconsin, I think it is, who has got a bill in Congress which will outlaw overtime for the working middle class.
Oh, is that that Ron Johnson? Is that that Senator Johnson?
Maybe that's what it is.
He's terrible. He's a Tea Party boy. That's why. That's why you get those crazy ideas. And there are other ones that want to do away with minimum wage. I mean, I shouldn't laugh because it's so pathetic, but it's ridiculous how crazy these guys are.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I have lived for months at a time in what is considered socialist countries or close to socialist countries, like Denmark, and there is nothing wrong with socialism. It beats the crap out of capitalism, and there are people in socialist countries that are basically building their own businesses, and people who have large bank accounts and people who have small bank accounts, but people are healthy. They have health care. They get an education all the way through college.
And they're taken care of, and they're not all lazy drunks because of it either.
You know,
that's such a myth.
I got to tell you, though, guys, I don't think there's an ocracy, an ology, or an ism that's going to work. I think we need a completely brand new vision for this planet because we're in such trouble environmentally that the economic side of it is just going to sort of, you know, who's going to think about it when you think of what is coming up our backs right now?
Yeah.
One of our people in the chat room wanted to give everybody a place to go and resource. It's called freeandequal.com. I'm not sure what it is, but I wanted to pass that on because we do appreciate the people in chat who are listening, and they make a contribution.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Freeandequal.com. Okay, I'll take a look at it myself. I know I'll do that. Well, there are, you know, we're brainwashed into thinking there's only this way or that way. There's never any thought of a third way or a better way. It's always this way or that way. It's either capitalism or communism or socialism, you know. It's silly.
That it's many shades of gray. I can point to France and Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Germany is really doing a whole lot better. Well, number one, their industries, their corporations didn't go running to China to do, you know, to race to the bottom of the economic wage for employees.
No, they had common sense and integrity.
Exactly. They kept their industries and their companies running. And right now, they're probably one of the strongest economically in the world, even probably more so than ourselves.
They are. They're very strong. And considering they ended up with taking over what was once Eastern Germany, right after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and they were burdened with all kinds of people and very little industry.
Exactly.
Just as a moment of clarity here, John O'Brien's website there that he gave, freeandequal.com, is a it's a movement of third party candidates is what it is. I myself am very happy too that there is more support for the Green Party nationally and locally.
Yeah, you know, the problem with having only two parties is that they've grown so strong and they have such deep, deep, deep roots in throughout all areas of society. That's why we can't get anything done. They're too strong, and they're about equal right now, and that's why we're having so much problem and so much gridlock.
Well,
because they're very similar, but they're also opposed to each other. They both want absolute power, and that's the sad thing about it. And you know, we on the left cannot afford to fight amongst ourselves because the right will take advantage of it. And I don't care what the issue is. It doesn't matter. We have got to present a unified front. If we're going to win power and win elections and be able to effectively change not only our political system, but our economic and social concerns as well.
Well, that's like Manny was telling us. We need to focus. We need to get together like unions used to do. And
right.
Focus on a goal. Get that one goal and leave all of the rhetoric behind.
Right.
And just focus on one goal. Agree to disagree, but agree on one goal and achieve it.
Yeah, and be respectful and not personal in your criticisms of others.
Because people are, especially in this virtual community that we've created, and it's done it's done so much for us. I think every time I get ready to start putting shows up on Here Be Monsters and scheduling, or anytime I'm going over to the Commons Project Network and posting things, every time I do that brand new, say the first time of this week type of thing, I always think of one person. I will never forget Mohamed Bouazizi. And when you come from that perspective, he triggered what became the Arab Spring.
Arab Spring, yeah.
And, you know, if you can anchor yourself in the humanity of what we're trying to accomplish with our alternative media and bringing up awareness, then we're doing something right. And in the virtual community, there is cyberbullying that goes on because one wants attention and the other. Or drink the freaking zealots' Kool-Aid and believe everything they believe. You know, there's no cooperation then. And
it's so important to have that cooperation. It is vital into achieving the goal. And yes, you can have little disagreements, but don't turn them into giant pissing contests. What's the point of that? Who wins? Who wins except the status quo?
The one who pisses furthest. I mean,
yeah.
That's
about it. But what's the point, really?
So.
Yeah, what's the point, really?
Yeah, I hear you. another thing that we were discussing before the show that I think is really kind of vital is talking about what you guys are thinking about the embassy closings and the escape of the Al-Qaeda members. What do you guys think? What do you think's going on there?
I'm going to say, Joe, you lead.
You know, I don't really know, Gwen. I want to see more happen before I can really make up my mind. I just suspected right off the bat. This was so weird sounding that all of a sudden, boom! Oh, look out, everybody, and close the embassy and stay off the streets and you know all this emergency stuff. You know, I just was a little. I'm sorry, I could be very wrong, and I hope I'm not, but. Maybe I was thinking, this sounds a little engineered to me, and it sounds a little bit, I don't know for what purpose, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, go ahead, Wayne. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. Of course, we saw the mass breakouts and aid of breaking prisoners out of Libya, Yemen, Afghanistan, all the major hotspots. And, of course, that was all coordinated because basically all the attacking of the jails and overcoming the security and allowing, you know, the prisoners out. I can see where that would lead to, okay, now here's the big plan. We've got you out. There's going to be plenty of disgruntled and very angry people who came out of the prisons.
Oh, yeah.
That will not have a problem to be wearing an exploded vest and, you know, almost, you know, climb the walls of the embassy with explosive, you know, jackets and stuff, almost like the scene from, was it the Zombie War or whatever, where they're just climbing upon themselves to get over the walls. And I think because of the one, you're going to get the other. To see where there could be a mass attack on anything that is associated with the United States of America. I don't
But how could it occur so quickly? You know, I just I'm a little bit suspect because I think our we've been fed a lot of crap for way too long, and I think the recent revelations by Snowden and Bradley Manning over time have shown that. We're fed a lot of bullshit. We really are.
Well,
you don't know what to believe anymore.
Well, now that is a very true statement. Well stated.
Yeah.
That's very true. We have a fellow, one of our fellow Roundtree 7 with our own network, Era Martifio. Ra is going to call in, and she can speak address to... an issue that I wondered and if this wasn't a part of this formula somehow, and that's the Palestinian-Israeli debacle that's ongoing. I mean, they throw false, she's getting a busy signal, so that's weird. But Ruthann Martifio, is constantly posting, putting the information out there about what's going on with Palestine and what Israel has been doing, especially in the last, here she is, in the last few years. It's just incredible. Ra, are you with us?
Yes.
Hi, good to hear from you.
Hey, hi.
Hi.
Let's shut this off.
Jack Wayne, this is Ra.
Hey, hi. Yeah. It's I've heard from the beginning. I couldn't get in for whatever reason, but I heard you talking about cyberbullying, and I just had to snicker you know, some of these people are just so ridiculous.
Oh, I agree. They belong in the Tea Party.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you. If you don't drink the Kool-Aid, what good are you?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a whole other story.
No.
No, it's getting worse. It seems like, you know, in Palestine, I think it's like worse before the dawn, that sort of dark before the dawn thing.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I'm very optimistic, but we've got to get from here to there. And it's not easy. So many people have been displaced again, the Bedouins, for one. You know, some of them have had their homes destroyed like 40 times. I mean, that's just horrid. And children, more than ever, are being arrested. Weeks ago, there were 5- and 6-year-olds were arrested. And, you know, they take them from their parents. They don't let them see their parents. And they're, I mean, when they come out of this, all these youngsters talk about
they're traumatized.
Abuse. Yeah, well, they're physically abused.
Oh, that's terrible.
And mentally. But,
yeah, that's going to have lifelong repercussions.
Sure.
And I was going to say, you're doing nothing more but breeding that much more of a terrorist population.
Yes.
That is so Freudian embedded now.
Good move.
It's
good
not
Troy.
Therapy to try to bring them back.
Well,
it's and people are not willing or they're shocked to and are unbelieving to hear that Israel has become this postured. that Israel could be so cruel, that Israel would be so,
right.
You know, it's still out there, the meme that the Jews are the ones who are going to be, you know, the fair, and it's a total opposite.
Right, because we hear that all the time. Well, they would never do that. I mean, look what happened to the Jewish people during World War II.
They would never
put that on anyone else.
That's why I find it so amazing that they're doing what they're doing right now. It's like they didn't learn the lesson of the evil.
No. Some lessons just come very hard.
They escape people, I guess.
They do.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of good going on because, you know, adversity really does breed strength.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And these Palestinian people, they are strong. And, you know, for the most part, they're not really bitter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have a lot more graciousness in them than I do.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody did this to me, I'm sorry to say, but I don't think I would be that nice about it.
Right.
But, you know, many of them just want peace.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be fair here because a lot of Israelis are very pro-Palestinian, too. And I'll
tell
that's
very true. Very true.
That's true.
You know, on one of the shows I do on Wednesday night, we have an hour devoted to Palestine. Raymond Blaine on Palestine, and then Sarit Jacobson with her eye on Israel. And, you know, she's Jewish, and she was in the IDF years ago for about 3 months till she managed to get herself out. And she, unfortunately, didn't go to jail. But what a lot of people don't understand is there are a lot of Israelis in jail because they're pro-Palestinian.
Right. Yeah, and they're, none of those are in the Knesset, of course, so they can't really exercise any influence.
Right. But there's, you know, we don't hear about that in the media.
Oh, yes. We're sheltered from all the good news, the real
news.
Right.
They're not going to tell you that, but because she has people, and we've had them on the show, we've had different Israeli pro-Palestinian activists, and some of them, I mean, they're just outspoken. And, you know, they've lost their families, they've lost jobs, they've been beat up on, they've been jailed, you know, on and on, but they keep doing it. And they're across the board, from very young people to this one woman, we love her, she's a grandma, she's part of the Raging Grannies
in
Israel, and they have a musical group, and they're actually on YouTube, with they sing in Hebrew and English, and they're really dissing the government. I mean,
well, they're committed to justice, and that's the important thing to remember, and that's great.
Exactly. So we can't just, you know, do this whole broad painting because a lot of Israelis are very kind people, and they're trying, you know, just like people in this country are trying.
Yeah.
We have such a lousy, well, that's a nice word for it, government. You know, they do too. And
exactly.
So we've got to remember that when we say it, we can go ahead and just say, you know, the Zionists, because they don't have any kind of humaneness left, I think.
Right.
But as far as Israelis and Jewish people, we can't, you know.
We can't generalize. No, exactly right. And that's a very good point.
Any more than we can generalize about Democrats, progressives or Republicans anymore, because it's it's about good people. It's
about
who want to know the truth and people who want things to change and are willing to take the risk, you know?
Well,
and
you're on a small scale, Gwen, as a perfect example, you've got a moderate Republican, you've got a progressive Democrat, and you've got you, and you've got our other speakers. And we're all getting along. We're all discussing things sanely, intelligently, and you know, once in a while something provocative comes out. But nobody springs on each other. It's a way to do things.
Absolutely not. It's, being the moderate Republican here, I say you have to look at all. It's like John Nash's game theorem. The first thing you have to do is identify all the variables, and then you play out the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't get all the variables unless we have the different viewpoints that, you know, that you bring and Gwen and the other guest speaker here, and then, of course, myself. And then we can step back and look at it and say, yeah, I like this part, I don't like this part. And then we just sit and keep refining it and distilling
right.
it down to, I think we have something here now. Here's where you find the answer.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Because we've got more in common than we do in non. And,
right,
and
good point. And, you'll never find bullying on this program.
Right. We have things we can work on together, the core issues, and then we can get down to, nitpicking. Okay?
Right.
But first of all, we've got to stick with each other and the core.
That's very true.
Humanity. It's about humanity. And I think that the first rule should always be humanity. I mean, it's going to become more and more clear and more well-defined as we fight for a survival that is something more than the war impending. It's, whether or not we can catch enough fish or plant enough crops and breathe clean air on our West Coast from the tar balls that ceaselessly keep coming up on shore, now they're carrying a flesh-eating disease in them.
Oh, it's, yuck.
That's horrifying.
That is horrifying.
I just recently heard that the West Coast children being born there, already they have thyroid problems.
Yes.
Oh, well, man.
The Rita Reactor from World War II set out a lot of radioactive iodine, henceforth destroyed the thyroid absorbs iodine. So henceforth, are you having a lot of thyroid problems in that segment of the coastal trade winds? Spread it. But Gwen, to a compliment on the statement you made about people stepping back and addressing and noting, the increase in pollution and things like that. Basically, the unenforcement of the environmental laws we have on the books. In places where I work, there were two business suit men walked in. They weren't part of my company. It was another company. And they were talking about, thanks to all the Republicans on Lake Erie. And I just caught that bit of it and kind of, stuttered because here's some suits that you would, if I would have, painted with a broad brush, thought they would have had a Republican viewpoint.
Uh-huh.
And then when they saw my double stutter, they clarified, said, so basically by the non-enforcement, by the Republicans, which are in control here right now in the upper aspect of Ohio, they are no longer enforcing the environmental laws. So henceforth, and of course, Gary, being shared by Wisconsin, another great violator of the environmental laws, that, doing a nudge, don't worry about that, we're not going to prosecute you. And now Lake Erie is suffering from the environmental aspects again, returning back kind of where it was before things got cleaned up. And just to refresh a lot of the listeners' memory, up around Cleveland, they had a river that caught on fire periodically.
That's right.
And fire companies could not put it out. They just had to let the petroleum solvents and the other things they were dumping in there to basically just burn off.
Randy Newman in 1971 had a song about that, and he called it Burn On, about the Cuyahoga River burning from all the pollution.
I remember that.
And that's 40-some years ago. We don't want to return to that, but it looks like we're headed in that direction.
There is some of those, the Republicans in control in Ohio here. My part of Columbus is very progressive. And which I always say the progressive viewpoint will win out. That's why they call it progress.
You're right.
If all of us can take the moment to stand back and take a look at what's going on just in the local, on the local scale. But people look up blue sky, they feel like it's there forever. They take
but
a look
not.
Out when they're crossing a bridge, they take a look out at the ocean or down the river, and they're not seeing anything bad yet. They think it's all right. And then the corporations manipulate the higher volume watching on the boob tube,
Oh, yeah.
You have nothing but news that drives you to consume and push
propaganda.
Propaganda. Until, you know, the Gulf turns gray, the Mississippi begins to foam more. Do you know how many XL sand leaks of tar sands oil petroleum is going on now? Julia Trigg Crawford, our friend in Texas, who is fighting the eminent domain, she's waiting for, and mind you, Obama still hasn't okayed this project, but eminent domain has taken the land and given it to tar sands and let them right now, there's pictures on Facebook on her page and Sharif Whiteland's that show them sinking pipelines on her land. And she's still waiting for the courts to throw a decision out. Until people see the spoilage crossing the highway in front of them as they're going to work, I guess we're going to have to just keep beating our lonely drums out here in the Netherlands.
Well, we got to keep beating them. That's the whole point. That's very true.
Yeah.
We can't give up.
That's the truth. While you're on with us, Raw, can you do a little call out, shout out, and let our listeners know where they can find Aramark DeFeo and the different shows that you have?
Yes.
Oh, I'd love to. blogtalkradio.com/AramarkDeFeo. My last name is spelled AmarkDeFeo. And we have the Socialist Insight with Stuart Alexander, and the Research Rabbit Hole with Cynthia Hamill on Monday nights. On Wednesday is Gather Round. I interview different people. And that's it when we have Raymond Blaine on Palestine and Sarit Jacobson's Eye on Israel. We also are starting something new with Tea Talk with Monique Johnson this Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So something good to look forward to. And Thursdays we have 2 hours, well, an hour and 55 minutes, of Thor's Day Hammerdown with Evan Battenton and Jap App, and they tackle a lot of different topics from chips to the Rothschilds to chemtrails, Monarch, different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And on Friday I have Feed Your Head, which is 2 hours. I do two separate hours of interviews with politicians and artists, some creative people. So
well, that sounds very good. It sounds worth tuning into, that's for sure. Do you also conduct a blog of any sort? Or?
No, unfortunately.
Well, you're doing enough as it is on the radio.
That's on the list, though.
Okay, great.
We do have a page on Facebook right now, Aramark DeFeo Radio. So we do put up what's coming up and then some of the things that the people talk about.
Well, do keep us posted.
Thank you.
You're also a member of the Commons Project Network.
Exactly.
And a contributor to the Roundtree 7 blog.
Exactly. However, I am the lowest tech person, and I require a lot of help there. But I'm getting it. So.
Well, good job. we salute you for your efforts so far, and look forward to your future endeavors.
Thank you.
We were all speaking earlier about the environmental situation and drinking the Kool-Aid, and our good buddy, our captain out there, Krell, is in the chat room, and both Ra and I are telling him to call in. He was going to give us a shout in and give us a little bit. We'd have two engineers on the show. And between the two of them, you know, talking about the near-term extinction to the reality of what we really are seriously facing, is just extraordinary. It really is. You're in queue? I don't see you. Damn, Blog Talk Radio has gotten weirder and weirdo. Try recalling the number, David, because I don't see you.
Yeah, that happened the other night to me, too. Yeah.
That's
weird. Yeah, you had a little trouble getting in, too, didn't you? That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ra had a little trouble. Hang up and call again, I think. It's there's so much that we need to be talking about. And alternative and independent media is where the resource is. And that includes some of the more established independent media and resources out there, include Fire Dog Lake and Mother Jones. There's lots of really wonderful resources that are well anchored out there. That their information goes, including, you know, what do you call it? Democracy Now. I have a question for our progressive Republican. Where do you go to find information, Wayne?
Well, basically, I just start searching a lot on the web. I do read a lot. Basically, I just gather information from all sources, and then I can start putting it together.
Good. That's a good way to do it. I do that too. That's a good way to good method of operation.
Plus, too, I've got this mind. If something interests me, I really don't forget it.
Yeah.
So that's why I can, you know, recall and quote John Steinbeck, or like I said, this Isaac Asimov, and other things. A topic will come up, and then, you know, it's like, and now at my age, it takes a little while to double click the icon and find it again, but it's still in there.
Well, that's great. And with that note, I'm going to thank you for being on today, Engineer. I'm going to take off a little bit early this week. We'll see you next week, everybody. Jack Jodell here from Saturday Afternoon Post. And thank you, Gwen, for another great show. And everybody who's in the chat room, my greetings to you as well, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Take care, Joe. And I'll see you on your site.
Sounds good, buddy. Thank you. Talk to you again.
Bye-bye now.
The Blog Talk Radio is giving us a problem here and there and everywhere lately. I think it's because they're expanding, Ra, don't you?
I hope that's the reason. I mean, that I think it's because there are so many people on there, and they haven't been expanding their service to keep up. So
hopefully
they're going to change that, but...
I agree. I want to thank David for trying to get in and speak with us. Perhaps next Sunday we can get him through, and he can give us a few minutes on this, because I think it's ongoing. If we keep putting the information out there, you know, it's vital that people understand that there are things to be working on, and to fuss over, and then there's from the sublime to the ridiculous. the Kool-Aid crowd, and there's no reason for people to, you know, grasp. They call them doomers. And for good reason. You know, there's no solution, and there's not even the direction pointed in a solution. And for me, that's not something I can embrace. There's always something that can be done. Now, I know, Wayne, you're an engineer. I would think you would have the same kind of, as a scientist.
If I can bring up this subject, there's nothing that irks me when I hear, you know, one of the mindless, the lemmings, say, I don't believe in global warming. There's no global warming. There's plenty of evidence. There's none of that. And it's like, first thing I do is I implement Socratic irony. And I asked him, I said, well, when they talk about the CO2, the carbon dioxide, what carbon are they talking about? The C6, C12, C13, C14, C16, C28, C64?
And then I get this deer in the headlight look because they don't even understand the question I've just presented to them.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, in essence, is C6 is just the periodic table for carbon. But inorganic carbon, like what a volcano would project, is C12. C14 is the organic carbon. We are a carbon-based life form, as all life is on this planet, and it's made up of, originally, of the C14. And it's the C13 that is the degrading of losing the electrons and the radioactivity aspects, which they use for radiocarbon dating. So the only something is lost, and so it's the C13. And, of course, the others are just nothing more than the Bucky balls and the Bucky nanotubes and things like that. But then when I looked there and I said, you know, and I get no answer, and I said, well, you know, if you don't know what carbon we're talking about with the CO2 that they're saying is causing global warming, and you don't know that, then you really don't know anything about what you're talking about. Am I to understand that correctly? And then that's pretty much the end of the conversation.
But, you know, Wayne, what's jumped up like Jack in the conversation, especially here on Here Be Monsters and a few other of the blogs and radio shows that are loosely knit in the same village as we are, is something called near-term extinction theory that is mostly been, I guess, put out there, not completely but very much pumped out by a guy, McPherson, who I'm not quite sure what his credentials are, but I think he's some kind of a mathematician. And the near-term extinction that they are talking about is something that's within, you know, 5 to 7 years becoming very, the planet becoming very toxic and non-sustaining of life. And oh my God, we're down to 3 minutes. Well, the point is that it's a theory. It's a theory. And if you don't adhere with it, with a lot of folks who are embracing it, it's as though you deny climate change. And that's just kind of ridiculous, you know?
Oh, I agree.
We all
here's
know
one of the other
climate change is happening, you know?
Absolutely. There's no real question. Matter of fact, the Koch brothers, those who are funding the Tea Party, funded their own environmental study of global warming. They chose their own climatologist. They funded him to the tune of close to $300,000 to do the study. And unfortunately for them, his findings were that, yes, there is global warming, and yes, it is man-made. Now, that is a little bit of egg on the Koch brothers' face, but did they make public that finding? And did they make public say, hey, everything we've been trying to tell these people, it's all been crap? No, they didn't make any corrections. They keep on propagating the ignorance. This is what bothers me more than anything. The willful ignorance. There was a
Wayne. I hate to interrupt you, but we're down to 60 seconds, and I want to thank you.
Well, I thank you, and hopefully
today. And Rob, thanks for calling in.
Well, sure.
Pleasure speaking with you and meeting you too, Ron.
Well, see, and we prove we can get along from progressive Republican to socialist. Hey, we're doing good, guys.
Yeah, we really are. There is hope for us all with this little group right here, so long as we keep propagating and getting the real facts and news out and the subjects.
That's the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Sunday show for this week on Here Be Monsters. We appreciate your listening. And next week, we'll be back at 6 p.m. on Sunday and talking to a chair. Jack and I talking to a chair. You come on by and troll us. I that's one of my ads I've got out there with Clint Eastwood's face on it. So let's go down that avenue. Anyways, thank you for listening. And that's all for us this week. David, thank you. Guys, I think we're gone.
Well, Gwen, you have yourself a good one, and thank you for having me on.
I definitely thank you for being with me, too, Wayne. Come back with us again, will you?
Anytime, any place, you just let me know I'm there.
Okay. Have a great week.
All right, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.